You should never trust a dentist with bad teeth. So what that means is everybody's telling stories, everybody's giving advice, but I really learned to say, who is telling his story? Who is that person? Who is he? What's his story? You know, what's his background? And why is he telling the story like this? And that's really helped out a lot as far as how you can eliminate advice or how you can take in advice from different perspectives. Because if you just take everybody's advice and people saying, well, you should do it like this and you should do it, you really, really need to know, who is that person? Does that person have good teeth?
Hello and welcome to the Create Your Work Life podcast, the podcast for work and life designers looking for inspiration to increase engagement, meaning, and happiness at work.
And our guest today is David Burnell IV. David was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, on the little island of Oahu, and has spent the last, 6 years in Munich? Once a Marine stationed around the world, he discovered he wanted to be an actor, got back to the States, and started enrolling in American Ninja Warrior competitions, short films, commercials, then movies, while acquiring good agents. He has a couple of promising movies premiering in early 2021, originally planned for this year. We met by chance at a street fair. And since our paths have crossed many times, and every time I discover a new intriguing facet. We are delighted to have him as a guest today and to learn more about his backstory and get inspired by the way he creates his work life. Welcome, David, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, big pleasure. And we'll just start by the first question, which is, what does create your work life mean to you?
What does create my work life means to me? What to me that means it starts with a schedule. That's what it really means to me. I hear that you have to wake up at a certain time, probably early in the daytime, before the sun is up, and you have to start your day. And that comes from the military. I for 11 years, I can remember 5 o'clock in the morning, you would wake up, and I did not understand why we had to wake up this early. But now I implement that same type of work life, especially as an actor now and a fitness instructor. You have to create that schedule to have that discipline to create creativity. Because if you just wake up anytime and you're free and you don't have a real disciplined schedule, then it's like, I don't know, I think creativity can really slip away from you. But if you know you're going to be up at 5 o'clock, dark in the morning, nobody's up, no company is open, no phones are going, no emails are going, it's just you. You have that split second of that time of your life to say, okay, what am I going to accomplish today?
Very good. And in terms of work and how your work line has been evolving over time, anything in particular that has led you to where you are today?
Oh, everything in particular. I mean, like you said, we're prime examples. I mean, we just met on a street market, at our street. And actually with Christoph, and just speaking, talking, socializing. But I mean, in general, I think And I think that you guys understand this too. We're all social beings. Like we're meant to be social. I know a lot of people are hurting right now, you know, because this distancing and COVID, this is not normal for a human being. We're social beings. So getting back to your question, like everything influenced where I am today. Mm-hmm. You know, every conversation, every interaction, you know, we take it in and then it kind of pulls us in a different direction or pulls us to the direction.
I can relate to that, definitely.
And David, another question. What was your first job and what made you choose that job? What did you like or didn't you like?
So just keep in mind that I'm like maybe 10 years older than both of you, okay? So I'm really, really old right now. So when I tell you that I worked at a civic center, making popcorn.
Okay.
It was like at a civic center in North Carolina making popcorn and maintenance. Okay. Do you guys, you know what a civic center, mm-hmm. do you guys have civic centers here?
I don't even know
how you would translate that to German, a civic center.
But is it like a neighborhood?
A civic center is more like they play basketball games there. It's literally like a event center where you can have car events, you can have basketball events, you can have, sport events. It's a civic center. And I was like the maintenance there. So I had all the keys. And I remember there was some famous basketball players playing there one time.
Okay.
And I tried to take advantage of my authority, because I had the keys.
Oh.
This little kid had a basketball, and he was like, "Please, can you get this signed by this famous basketball player?" And I was like, "Yeah, give it to me." So I got the ball, and I got past security because I had the key. But then there was this one guy that said, "Hey, no, you can't do that." And he put me back in my place. And I said, "Sorry, man, I can't sign the ball." And I gave the ball back.
Okay.
It was embarrassing.
When you think back to school days and learning in general, when do you think that, or have you ever enjoyed it? Or do you think that you started enjoying it for a reason that made it special? Was there someone in your life that had a special role there? Going back to school, I know that you played football. I've read about that.
So you're talking about high school or you're talking about university?
It could be both.
So I would say in high school, eighth grade, seventh grade, I remember always being confused, especially in social media, social studies. It always seemed like the book started in the middle of the story. And I'm afraid that all the Americans were educated like that. Like when I came to Europe, my mind was blown away. I mean, because it always felt like our studies started in the middle of a story. And I was always confused, like, well, where did these Indians come from? And who were these people? And why were they there? Or what was their story? But it always started Plymouth Rock, boom, you know, right there. You know, and let there be light and North Carolina, you know, it was called North Carolina History Studies. And I just remember going back to your question, just being confused with education.
Did it become clear at some point or did you find a way to relate to learning that made it interesting?
I wouldn't say it became clear to me, but it became, what did become clear to me is that I know nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You get to the point where you take the test and you're like, oh, I scored 98. Wow, I'm really good in history, you know, like I know something. And it's really bad for creativity, because I think you're measured at this, you're measured with a false measuring education stick. And it became clear to me, and it's embarrassing to say this because I'm like 40 now, but at the age of 40, 42, it became clear to me, only at the age of 42, like, I know nothing. Mm-hmm. I know nothing. And that in itself helps, like, that to me helps me now, you know, mm-hmm. like a lot in everything I approach. Is like, well, let me read about this. Let me see about this. Let me see the different perspective, because he has another story and he's telling another story, mm-hmm. which is, I have to get to this really good point for me in my life and hopefully for anybody that's listening. Mm-hmm. It's, and I think if everybody applies this, it really helps your life out a lot. It helped mine out. Would you trust a dentist with bad teeth? Or you should never trust a dentist with bad teeth. So what that means is, everybody's telling stories, everybody's giving advice, but I really learned to say, who is telling his story? Who is that person? Who is he? What's his story? You know, what's his background and why is he telling the story like this? And that's really helped out a lot as far as how you can eliminate advice or how you can take in advice from different perspectives. Because if you just take everybody's advice and people mm-hmm. saying, well, you should do it like this, or you should do it, you really, really need to know, who's that person? Does that person have good teeth? You're a fitness instructor, but your belly is 10 times bigger than me. Why are you telling me to be how are you telling me to be fit, you know?
Okay.
You know, why would I go to a dentist with really bad teeth? And this is his profession. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to keep teeth clean, but he can't keep his own teeth clean. I don't think I'm going to go to you, bro. Mm. You know?
Walking the talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, never trust a dentist with bad teeth.
Good piece of advice.
Okay, from teeth to making decisions, David, another question, another topic. How do you make decisions? Do you have a secret to make good decisions for you?
Another thing that I realize is, I don't know, good, bad, right, wrong. I realized later in life that they're just decisions. There is no good, bad, right, or wrong. You make a decision and you learn from those decisions. I remember my little brother growing up, I would tell him, stop doing this and stop going out messing with these girls. Don't marry this girl. Don't get married before you get your first job. I used to tell him all kinds of stuff. And in our eyes, he was really messing up. He was doing bad and I was doing good. I was in college. I was the older brother. And now I have a little apartment in Munich. Mm-hmm. And he has this huge house. He has a bigger house than me, with a happy family, with happy kids. And I'm so proud of him. And he makes me realize that there is no wrong or right decisions or wrong or right or good or bad. It's like, it's uh-huh. just, he just made decisions and he, you know, whether we liked it or not, he made that decision He owned up to the decision, and now he is where he's at. And we're all happy. We're all proud for him. And my mom and dad, they're proud of him now. They weren't proud of him before, but now they're proud now when they go into his big house in North Carolina.
You talked about creativity before, and how you get creative by knowing that you don't know much, that you're curious. So what do you think that creativity is important? What's creativity for you?
That's a hard question. We tried to tackle that in design management when I was in my design management course in the university studies over here. And it's such a circle. It's like, got to be creative to what's creative to be create, to have creativity. But to have creativity, you got to be creative. It's like, it's such a weird, like, it's like art. Like, what is creative? It's like perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
does it have a special meaning for you? I mean, you do a lot of creative work.
Yeah.
In different disciplines as well.
Yeah. And I would say lately, I have to trust my heart, like the decisions I make. And this is speaking from an actor's perspective. So 50% of my job is to get the audition, get on the camera, and I get a couple of lines to convey a message so that casting director can be like, he's so I might get five lines saying, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That's it. That's all you get. I wouldn't do that if I were you. And then you're like, okay, so let me see what's the backstory to this. And you can drive yourself crazy if you're like, oh, I gotta be creative. It comes to a point where it's just like, dude, trust your heart, go in it. And if that's what you're, because you really don't have anything. I can't call the casting director. I can't call the main star, which is Kevin Hart or something. Hey, Kevin Hart. Hey, The Rock. Can you tell me what this character means to you? You know, like I have no feedback channel. So it's like, for me, it's literally, Dave, you got to go with your heart. You got to trust it. And if it really feels good and that feels like it's you, then that's the answer for me when it comes to, then I hit my creative mark there. And it doesn't matter if I get the call back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt my best. There's some times where I did it and I was like, ugh, that was shit. Like, ugh. I really wasn't. You know, so yeah, I would say to answer your question, it would be something that you really feel and it's aligned to that heart. Like that's me 100%. That's it. I'm trying to think for you guys, like the Legos, and maybe when you started researching this Legos, you was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. This feels good. Mm-hmm. This feels so good for me. It aligns to my life and my structure. I like to play with Legos. I know other people can identify with it. And I saw that at that workshop, you know, like at first you're skeptical, like what? Legos? How is this going to work? But then as you started explaining it, I could tell you were so aligned to it. Like it was way more than just Legos. It was like a part of your upbringing, a part of your creativity process. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine that it felt right when you wanted to present that and sell that to people and tell this is how you can become creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of that in it. Mm-hmm. Definitely that alignment and this feeling that it's you. It's very important connecting with your feelings.
David, another but nearby topic, our last months until March, there's another combination with concerning feelings, emotions, and COVID-19. And what does your day look like till March 2020? What's changed lately for you?
Oh, physical fitness, sport marking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say that it's more of the weather and the fact that we can't go on the, I would be on the Laufbahn, the gym. Okay. This would always bridge the gap for me. Because it's first the weather,
yeah,
it's just too cold. I'm from Hawaii, Honolulu, a little rock called Oahu. We have one season, literally.
Okay.
Can you imagine that one season all the way through?
Quite different yeah. to Shawnee.
And so, when it gets cold, me naturally, I can't get myself up to work out so much. So COVID-19 is just the icing on the top to say, close the gyms and all that. It's like, oh God, I can't even have a Laufbahn now, right? Or, you know, anything like that. So it's changed just because I can't do this sweat, protruding sweat, you know, that really good when I ran on the Laufbahn. Sweat and you put the speed up. But I would say other than that, I mean, COVID hasn't really affected my workout regimen as much. I bought some weights and I keep really busy.
Okay, so your routines, your good routines, your healthy routines going on.
Yeah. I'll find myself in the bathroom doing a million sit-ups for an hour. Just do sit-ups for an hour or something. I'm like, this COVID-19 is not going to beat me. Like, I will find a way. Like, I just get the... I get depressed too, you know, if I don't move.
Yeah.
The movement of body is life.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're alive. Your body is moving, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Good.
You know, a totally different question, but also an intriguing one. Who would you say was your role model growing up? Or people that inspired you in life?
Father, David Burnell III. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just seen that man do some amazing things in my life. And I didn't know about role models or anything like that. I just saw him do supernatural things when I was a kid, like little things. Like I saw him ride a bike up the hill. I know I was trying to ride this bike up this hill straight without stopping. It was like our driveway and it was like really steep. And I would just be in awe to see him just keep pedaling. I'm like, how does he do it? You know? And then when my grandma slipped and fell, I just saw him pick my grandma up and carry my grandma. And my grandma was heavy. I didn't know how he did that to this day. I just seen him do so many amazing things. It's like, I mean, and of course he was in the military. He's an American, Black American that raised three brown kids in the United States safely. They're all healthy. We're all, you know, we're all doing good. And that was back in the 70s, you know. We grew up in the 70s where, you know, we weren't chanting Black Lives Matter. It was real. Mm-hmm. Mm. It was real back then. There was still big things happening back then. But I mean, I think now, don't even get me started with that. I don't know how political you want to get. We'll just stay creative.
Yeah. So the amazing, strong guy, role model, your father.
I would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. David Brunel III.
How do you cope or deal with stress? Do we have specific techniques or inspiration?
Yeah. The simple answer to that used to be sports, mm-hmm. You know, lifting weights, especially in the military. It was so easy. Mm-hmm. You'd be pissed off at work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you would just put your earphones on, get lost in the music, and lift weights. Of course, stresses have changed now because I'm not in the military.
Yeah.
So different stresses have caused my reactions to react differently to stress. So sometimes I find myself like Netflix watching, like, and then I realize I'm not even watching Netflix. Netflix is watching me. I'm either procrastinating for something and then I wake up and I'm like, I am stressed. What's going on? Mm-hmm. And now, you know, with this COVID and the lockdown, I really, these different stresses come from different angles. I can't really prepare and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to lift weights today. Cause now you got closed gyms and stuff. So it's like, I trust my body to, I think the main thing is to identify it. Like, okay, it's not Netflix. I'm not up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm addicted to Netflix. I am stressed and I need to find out either what I'm procrastinating about, tackle it, or do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find myself eating candy and I'm like, mm-hmm. I think the important thing is knowing that you might not be able to deal with stress because you don't even know it's there, but mm-hmm. identifying like, oh shit, I'm stressing. And then when I find that out, then it's like, okay, I can handle this. So let's see what I need to do, you know. Okay. Especially this is good for a lot of people today because I feel that there's so many hidden stresses now with the lockdown and COVID, and they don't even know it. They don't even know that they're falling into, you know, missing somebody or missing camaraderie or socializing. They don't even know they're missing that, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's causing it?
What's causing it? Jeez.
And talking about socializing in a way and changing subjects a bit, you're a really good networker and quite active in social media. How have you built your audience, your network? How do you get people to listen to you? Any clues, tips, things that have helped you?
I'm still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm still evolving. It was fitness. People would come to my page because they knew that they can get fitness from me, fitness tips. They could see what I was doing, what's the coolest exercises. But I myself see myself as a creative, like artist, you know? So I, over the years, my page, even if you go to my Instagram, you'd be like, what is he? Is he a fitness instructor or what? Is he a comedian, actor? And so you could actually see the evolution of my creativity on my page because it goes from like fitness to now these funny memes of me learning Deutsch, like what I found funny, like Schmetterling. This word kills me, you know, because in my mind, butterfly.
Ah.
It's a simple equation. Buta fliege. It's amazing. So when you see big blockbuster movies like Independence Day with aliens and stuff, I think the Americans were trying to mimic the brains of the German intelligence.
And we're slowly coming to the end of our interview today. But before we do so, do you want to share with us what your special plans and projects you have in the next 6 months? And I know that there's a big movie coming. Maybe you can tell us a bit about that. So which are the projects that you're really looking forward to?
So, yes. So glad you asked that. Yeah. So the project or the movie that's coming out, it's called Gunpowder Milkshake. And it is a woman, it's a woman assassins movie, like it's like hidden women that are secretly assassins. And I have a pretty big role in it to where I play the antagonist. I'm one of the bad guys trying to beat her up and be hard, you know, like I'm this killer, but I'm not. And it's, this movie is a milestone for me because one is the one of the biggest movies that I've been in with lines and in a role, and it was picked up by Studio Canal, so that's like the Warner Brothers of Warner Brothers or Universal Studios of Europe. Of course, COVID is keeps pushing back the date, but this was the milestone for me in my career, in my entire life, because for the longest, I was the dentist with bad teeth. I was telling people, yeah, you should be creative. You should do this. You should do that. But what was I doing? You know, like, what was I doing? Why would they listen to me? Why was I giving this advice? And so it was an evolution again of me figuring out who I was. I stopped talking so much and I actually cleaned my teeth. So, you know, when somebody asks me, well, how do you get into the movies? How do you get into the movie industry? I can tell them a step by step what I did, like the emails I sent out, the emails, the several thousand emails I got rejected. You know, and then finally one agent hit me up, and then that agent got me a job. Then that job led to another job and then another job, and then Gunpowder Milkshake. So that's the biggest project that's coming out. That's a milestone for me, that's like a breath of fresh air for me, because, you know, for us being creators, we're always like following our feelings, but not really. Sometimes we don't see results or anything, but you just got to keep following. You just got to keep doing it, or you just got to make that decision to keep going. I mean, you can change if you want. There's no wrong decisions, but, you know, there's just decisions. And that's the biggest project I got coming out.
Wow.
The second one is my social media campaign. I'm going to be pushing out content, but really good content with video editing and sound effects and everything. And it's going to be like a comedic take on me learning Deutsch. It's funny, but I'm really putting myself in the position so that when casting directors and directors look at my Instagram, they actually see a resume. They're like, oh, this American is bilingual and he's sportive. He's, so they can see why you should hire me, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and you know, a lot of people have artists on their page, and then you look at their page and like, okay, if you feel that that's an artist. So I I have a big social media campaign coming out, and you guys will be entertained once you when you go. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that. Look, we were in quarantine and lockdown for like months. So what was I doing? I had a camera. I was just talking to myself, Schmetterling, no, Butterflieger, Schmetterling. You know, I was like, it's gonna be crazy. So yeah, look for that. And then the last thing is learning Deutsch. So B1. Mm-hmm. I have the test in May 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pray.
Yeah, you're too good.
B1. Oh,
you're
God.
Too good. Anything on the sports side of things?
Sports?
The workouts.
Sports is part of life. But I realized that, you know, it was going, you know, mm-hmm. like this, because I can spend a lot of energy on sports, and people still come to me naturally without me advertising anything for mm-hmm. sports. Mm-hmm. So I made a decision that, you know, sports is going to come. I'm going to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the dentist with clean teeth, because as long as I keep my teeth clean, this sports side will come. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need that mm-hmm. to be my main income. My love and my passion mm. is acting. So I'm going to really, especially in 2021, is really be focused on the acting part, because I always feel that sports will come. My teeth are clean. I do a million abs a day in the bathroom. So mm-hmm. I don't have to advertise that, you know. They'll say, hey man, how do you do that? You know, so mm-hmm. I want people coming to me.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah, yeah. I want people coming to me for content, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And that's good that your daughter is doing that, because in 2021, with all the uncertainty and lockdowns, we have the tool in our hand to, you know, we literally have a camera and social media to say, okay, I'm creative, then show me, you know, show me how creative you are. Mm-hmm. Like we have it. We don't have to wait for anybody. We have a camera, we have a brain, we're alive. Show me your creativity. Mm-hmm. This is actually the best time to be creative. This is the best time.
Definitely turning boredom into creativity. Lots of chances for that.
Thanks, David, for taking the time to talk to us today. We will be adding our relevant links to the podcast notes. And if you like our podcast, please take a minute to rate us and share it with a friend. And don't forget to share your favorite quote from the podcast in the comments. And looking forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Bye,
Claudia. Bye. Thanks so much, David.
Ciao. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me so much. It was really good. This was really good and therapeutic, you know, to get everything off of my chest. I let it out.